Hi, it's Larry here of Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. You've liked, you've subscribed, you've downloaded, you're watching us. Now, let's bring in the real talent. Over there on the left is Malik. Hi, Malik.
What's going on? Jeff would be so proud of that intro. He's really okay, beaming somewhere.
I know. He's going to critique it anyway, but it's good to see you. And then, of course, over on the right, we have Kelly Lombardi's back after. We haven't had you on since the end of last year, but welcome back.
I'm back, baby. Happy New Year. Hope all is going well.
Our 2023 we're going as best as it can right now. I mean, here we are. So that's good to see. But it's
we got going some, somewhere.
We got some games to talk about. We got the games that we've been playing. Of course, next week is our, depending upon when you're listening to this, next week is our Developer Direct. We're going to have some interviews to support that. That's all we can say about that. We're not going to say anything more. Looking forward to that. But Malik, what I always want to start with you because you're kind of on the left side, and I apologize. Maybe I should flip you too. But Malik, let's talk about what you're playing this week.
All right, let's talk about it. I have
whoa. Yes, I see it in the back there. For those of you watching,
so you know,
video, on Spotify,
I know Rebecca YouTube. Has Pumbaa. Yeah, right. Like we talked about it last week. Adorable, but not as adorable as my vacuum, which has been a recurring character in this show, and I would say the sidekick. But last week we didn't quite give the vacuum a name, and so I was thinking about it. If you follow me on Twitter, you know the name. But I think I'm going to go with Brooklyn. So if you didn't know, I was born in Brooklyn.
Right.
And so I just feel like that's a good name for a vacuum. I don't know why, but it just feels
Kelly,
right
thoughts?
Inside.
I'll share what first came into mind
okay,
after
ahead.
The pod. But yeah. I think, yeah, if it's near and dear to your heart and you think that a vacuum best represents how you feel about your hometown, then,
Well, if that's the case, Kelly, maybe would you name your vacuum
when you put
buddy?
It that way. Yeah. When you put it that way, Kelly, that's
my vacuum's
how you feel
name
vacuum.
Is officially Buddy.
Nice. Oh, is that a New England joke? Is this what's going on here? But
if you know, you know, you I think know. Is what they say, right?
If you know, you know.
There you go.
Shout out to Providence, Rhode Island.
There we go. I got a lot of crap for caressing my vacuum, but I care about Brooklyn because Brooklyn cares about me
yeah.
and the clean air that I have. Anyway, moving on to games.
Games, that's why
Brooklyn
you're here.
Side. This is a podcast, Yikes. Xbox podcast. So last week I talked a little bit about Somerville and how I was starting the game after a few months of it being out. And I misinterpreted how long I had left in the game. I had about 2 to 3 hours left in the game, but I finished it two nights ago and I absolutely loved it. I mentioned it last week, but Inside is in my top five games of all time. And this game had those similar vibes. I won't go into it too much because we talked about it last week, but I would highly encourage any of you all to try it out. And it just had some really deep meaning kind of vibes. And I'm really excited to jump onto YouTube on Game Pass, excited to jump onto YouTube and read some of the theories because, again, no dialogue. You kind of left the story and the plot is left up to interpretation. So really excited to dive into those things.
I'm sorry, just before we get going here, not you, Kelly, frames. And it's not me, and it's not you, listener. We're getting about 3 frames a second out of you, Malik, for some reason. I don't know what's going on.
I am a robot, and my frames can't keep up. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I'm wired.
It's Brooklyn's revenge.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go over to Kelly, full screen on Kelly. Malik, why don't you disconnect and reconnect, and then we'll just do this live on the air here. We'll just go over to We'll go over to Kelly and we'll figure that part out. So come on back. All right, Kelly. Let's talk about by the way, I love the whatever's going on in your place there with the speakers and the very industrial vibe you got going on.
I am at an undisclosed location this week. I'm on the road.
I think it's a bunker. It's an audio bunker.
Yeah. I redecorated. I'm going for the Malik look. So nothing but electronics in my background.
Love it.
I traveling this week, but I have been playing, I started Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, and it's really good.
Richard, I think Jeff was playing that a little bit. We had an interview on that earlier, and we've definitely, that's one a lot of folks really like.
I hadn't played it. And so the other night I was like, oh, let me just try it out. And I thought it was really good. It's definitely a bit of a slow starter. Like there's a lot of cutscenes, a lot of learning, a lot of story, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's very tutorial heavy. So like, you know exactly what you need to do, where you need to go, who to talk to, how to like use your items, things like that. So really excited to keep playing it and dive in and like start getting the hang of things and get the ball rolling. But I've really enjoyed it. And then because the animations were done by Studio Ghibli, I actually,
which I love,
it's almost embarrassing to admit, but I have only seen one Ghibli film and it was when I was a kid. So I've been going back to rewatch some of them.
Okay. Wait a minute. Stop. Hold on a second. Cause this is not what I want, because let's Malik is back in here. Hi, Malik.
Hey, I think I'm still framey. What's
yeah, you are still here? A little bit framey. But we want to talk about, so I played the game, Kelly, because I've seen most of the Studio Ghibli's. I am a massive, as Jeff has pointed out in the past, I'm a big fan of Studio Ghibli. Was it My Neighbor Totoro? Is that the one you saw, or was it Spirited Away?
I watched Spirited Away. Yeah. So as a kid, I watched Kiki's Delivery Service.
Okay, so you've seen more than one.
Well, so I saw as a kid Kiki's Delivery Service, and then Ni No Kuni made me want to like dive in and start watching. So I watched Spirited Away, and it was like a fever dream, and I loved it. I was just like, this is why everyone's talking. This is what everyone's talking about. And so excited to dive into more of the films. If you have suggestions on where to go next, let me know.
There's no bad answer. I mean, they are all beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I watch them and my eyes melt. I have some of them. I have my wallpapers on my PC. I think I have all the movies because I just love them. They're great storytelling, great characters. Animation is unmatched. I'll just say that. But yeah, Ni No Kuni, and you see some of this animation there. I started playing it as well because I was like, I just had to be in that world. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I feel like now taking a step back, watching some of the films and then reapproaching the game has like just reignited my imagination. And so it's been really fun to kind of like see the parallels between the two and get back into the game. So really excited. And I feel like it's going to take up a lot of my time.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Malik, but it looks like your frames are all back. Do you want to wrap up what you're playing, Kelly, and then we'll go back over to Malik? I mean, I know you've been busy this week and traveling and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it for me. I am still doing my Disney Dreamlight Valley dailies and farming pumpkins and checking in there. But yeah, that's it for me.
I'm
farming pumpkins.
Hey man,
love it.
You got to do what you got to do. What about you, Malik? Yep. I know you before you dropped all your frames, you were just talking about some of the things you were playing.
I know. You were right. Revenge of Brooklyn. But yeah, outside of Somerville, I actually did start Pentiment, which I know we had Josh Sawyer on the show last week.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited to jump into it. I've heard nothing but amazing things about it. And my only hesitation was that I have to read a lot in the game, which is great.
A lot.
I will say, I have a podcast admission here. First ever exclusive on the Xbox podcast.
Go.
I don't think I've ever read a full book in my life. And that's not something that I should be proud to say, but I will say it's just the truth. And so for me to sit down and, you know, read is going to be, it's going to be a challenge that I'm excited to overcome. But beautiful like art, and it was all hand drawn, and it's amazing. And so I guess the reason I bring it up is that you have to read a lot in that game.
So it is, to your point, it is like a book. And as much as I know you're probably going to finish the game, this will not count towards finishing a book. Okay.
I was literally about to ask that. Get out of my head, Larry, because I was going to ask
Kelly, what do you think?
If I finish this. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Read a book, Malik. Read a real book. I don't know what to tell you. Play the game, finish it, and also read a book.
Why read a book when you could just watch a thing? You know. I love it. I love everyone who reads books. It's not for me, but we'll get through the game. I'm excited to play it because I know everyone's been talking amazingly about the game, and it's like a critical hit. And then the last game that I'll talk about that I actually played and I posted a few clips on Twitter is Red Dead Redemption 2, a game that came out in 2018. That is,
you know, did you finish it?
I finished the game. It took me 2 years to finish it because I was like inching my way through, but it is my favorite game of all time. And I go back once a month just to walk through Saint-Denis, which is basically the fictional Louisiana town in the game. And it is just stunning. The game
Do you know my connection to that game?
What is your connection to the game?
So one of my very good friends who I worked with in radio for 10 years in Hartford, Connecticut, he was the audio director on that game. And he's lovely, lovely guy from the Midwest. And he was the only, he moved to Edinburgh, Scotland, which is where the studio was that worked on that. And he was the only person in the studio who knew how to, if I remember correctly, play the trumpet. So if you look any of the, or the harmonica too. So anytime you see, that's what it was, a harmonica. When you go through and you get into Saint-Denis and you see someone playing a harmonica, it's actually, his name is Brian. It's Brian digitized. I don't think he played the harmonica, but he was the only one that kind of knew the motions. So anywhere you see in the game, that's him.
If he played the trumpet, that is funny that you say that, because the clip literally is of me walking around the person playing the trumpet. And basically what you can do in the game is...
I think he may be doing, have done that
so
as well.
So shout out to you, Brian, because if that's you... I also have to apologize to you because in the game, what you can do is you can press up on the D-pad to call your horse.
Right.
And the game is so many details. And so basically what I do is this trumpet player comes out at 10 a.m. in the game time every week. Like you can watch him or every day you can watch him like literally walk up and start playing. But if you walk in front of him and call your horse, he gets mad and puts down his trumpet because you're whistling for your horse or you're yelling for your horse.
Send me the link and I'll text it to Brian and I'll confirm.
Sorry, Brian. I'm so sorry. But
how are you going to do that
hilarious.
To Brian?
I'm sorry, Brian. But it is so funny. The game is there's so many small details. And after a while, like I made that noise and called for my horse. And then everyone who's listening to Brian play the trumpet just the turns trumpet. And look at me. And like, you're just ruining the moment. Yeah. So that's funny that you say that. But I love the game. It's beautiful. And so many small details like that make it great.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I remember when he moved to Edinburgh and he was like, because he had never worked in the games industry. He's a brilliant audio guy. And he was telling me, and he would not tell me anything about the game because I said, I don't want to know. And, you know, Rockstar's famous with secrecy. But he was so excited to work on that. When he told me that he was in the game, I was like, that's kind of, so you have to send me that and I'm going to, I have his text. I'll text it to him.
I got you.
Red Dead. I'm with you on that. That game is just extraordinary.
Yeah. Amazing and beautiful. Like the most beautiful game I've ever seen.
I'll bring up the rear here, folks. Playing, where am I looking at? Pentiment. I'm still kind of chewing away on that one, especially after listening to the interview last week. They off air, but after we were recording, they were sharing some spoilers that I was like, oh, I gotta go play this. What else am I playing? Playing a few other things, but nothing too big. One that I'm Vampire Survivors, Kelly. I'm all about Team Garlic. So
okay, he's in.
Oh, I finished the first level and the third level, but I didn't finish the second level. I don't know how I did that because I was just bouncing around. But Poe is my go-to. Spawns with the garlic. So that I just got into the. You know, you get into the, like we've all talked about on the show, and you and I and Malik and Rebecca and Jeff, you get into this Zen state where you're just kind of moving your guy around. And it was just, I upgraded everything. It was fantastic. So that's what I've been spending my time with. So
nice. Yeah.
There's a,
I haven't
a
jumped
new
into
map
it yet.
In Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, there is a new map. And again, Vampire Survivors, not the map, but the base game is available in Game Pass. And we've been talking about it. I'm trying to get an interview with that team. just want to make sure they come on at the right time, but it's definitely one of those games you got to check out. So, but I'm playing that, of course, playing my Halo. I got my weekly challenges in that one. I use that. That's kind of like social glue for me. I've got a couple of friends around the country that these are folks that don't work. It's not Brian, but that don't work in the games industry. And so they know Halo. So we come on and we talk every night or every few nights. We get together and just talk about, you know, space stuff and nerd stuff and who knows what else. So that's coffee milk, who knows
what we're talking about. Squad nights. Yeah,
it's fun. But anyway, that's kind of all that I'm playing. And you know, we got a little bit of the news is kind of quiet this week for us, for Xbox, although I would like to take a moment before we get into the interview. And Malik, I'm gonna throw you to get us the interview, is to kind of give a shout out to our friends on Stadia. Stadia's dark this week. They went offline. It was a Google Stadia was a lovely service that unfortunately went dark this week. So I love this. Did you upgrade your controller?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, you have until the end of the year to update your controller so you can use it for other Bluetooth functions. And so that's a really great move by the teams over there to ensure that, you know, and they refunded all purchases, including hardware, which I got my refund.
I did too.
Yeah. But another great opportunity for you to use a controller beyond.
I saw this headline, which kind of felt was a little bit true, which is Google handled Stadia's death better than its life. all the things they just did for the audience and whatnot. So Google Stadia, you will be missed. We had a lot of friends there, so I'm gonna kind of bum that the service isn't around any longer, but a moment for that. So we've got a couple things to talk about after the interview. We've got one interview this week. Jeff is actually joining us for this interview. Malik, would you do the honors of getting us into Jeff with the interview?
I can't do it justice for Jeff, but I'm going to try. Persona is now has more games in Game Pass. I want to make sure I get the games right. We have Persona 3 Portable, Persona 4 Golden, all in Game Pass right now. And so sitting down with the community manager, Tori Winkler, to talk about Persona. Here's Jeff and Tori.
All right, if I look a little bit tired, yeah, I'm not in my normal studio. The lighting's not amazing, but I've also been up late every night for the last 30 nights playing Persona 5 Royal. It's amazing. It lives up to all of the billing. But I better hurry up because Persona 3 Portable, Persona 4 Golden, also now available on Xbox Game Pass for console and PC and cloud. There's a lot of Persona to play, and you will want to play it. But let's you don't need to take it from me. Let's hear from the experts. We've got Tori Winkler, who's the community manager at Atlas West. Thanks for joining us on like an awesome day where we're celebrating Persona 3, 4, 5, all available on Xbox and PC and Game Pass.
Thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here. I mean, it's been absolutely incredible getting to see, especially like Xbox players, like get to experience Persona 5 for the first time. And then, you know, really excited to see more people than ever be able to play Persona 3 Portable and Persona 4 Golden. I've got my midnight flannel on. It's got the little TV from Persona 4. So dressed to impress, hopefully.
I'm a size large, by the way. I'll share the address later off air. How's it been going, actually? Because you get to see the feedback. I've been espousing Persona 5 on the show every week and encouraging folks to try it. And folks that have you know, directly told me like how much they're enjoying it. But you know, you get to see all of this more directly. So with this Xbox audience experiencing really the Persona series for the first time, like what are you hearing? And like, things going well? Has it been successful?
It's been super successful. And I think, you know, one of the most exciting things is because this is a series that has been really well loved and, you know, loved, but maybe a little niche for the last, you know, 10 or so years. You've had this kind of growing excitement and, you know, people really love these games or they've played them in the past and they want their friends to be able to play them. And being able to share this series with more people than ever has been so exciting, especially, you know, we had the big announcement at the Xbox show last year, and that kind of kicked off our Persona anniversary celebrations here in the West. So it's just kind of been building towards this moment, and super excited as more people are able to dive in to see the reactions come rolling in the couple of weeks as people get deeper into the games.
You referenced the Bethesda and Xbox showcase from last June, and that announcement got a huge pop. And there might be folks that, like, you know, had never played one of these games that was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's sort of like a poorly kept secret, maybe, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some respects, the Persona series is niche, but yet everyone knows about it and everyone knows that people love it. So what is it, do you think, about the Persona series, specifically 3, 4, and 5, where 3 I felt like, you know, really came into its own and sort of developed the sort of, I don't want to say format, but sort of some of the common threads that we continue to see built on in the series. What do you think it is about them that really grab people and hold them for what could be 100 hours?
Yeah, I think something that the Persona series does exceptionally well is have universal themes of, you know, growing up and discovering yourself that, you know, even if you're not a teenager anymore, you can still identify with these characters. You can still get to kind of like see the world through their eyes and empathize with what they're going through. And, you know, it might be an experience that you're having in your 20s or 30s or that you've seen your friends go through. And I think, you know, Persona has some incredible characters and those characters stick with you and you want to see their stories through until the end.
So Persona 5 released on Xbox first and now 3 and 4 are now available. And so wish if someone hasn't started yet, where should they start? And if it's any of those numbers, should they are any of these a great place to jump in? And are they doing okay even not having played Persona 1 and 2?
Yeah, of course. Persona 3, I think, is a really great spot for people to start. Like you mentioned, Persona 3 really kind of introduced a lot of the concepts that people identify with Persona now. Stuff like the daily life where you're getting to experience, you know, each day of the school year. And then also the social link mechanics. They're called confidants in Persona 5, but, you know, where you're getting to have FaceTime with those characters, you're getting to develop your relationships with them in a deeper way and really come to know them over like the course of this game. So Persona 3 Portable, I'm also a huge fan of Persona 3. That was where I jumped into the series. And I think it's a great starting spot for anyone who is looking to experience Persona for the first time. You're going to see a lot of the DNA that kind of goes into 4 and 5 as well. It's a good building block.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that really resonated. 3 was the first one I ever played. I played Persona 3 Portable. And just the sort of division of what you do during the day and building up relationships. And then at night you're fighting. And games that nail this part, like you're like really excited about one part and then you're really excited to get back and see the other part as well. You're not just jamming through conversations because they're all so meaningful, is something that I feel like the series has really retained. All right, let's talk about Persona 4 Golden. This was in many ways a really big jump. So I would love to hear, you know, from your perspective, really what makes that one special.
Yeah, Persona 4, I think, you know, is well-beloved for a reason. I think one of the, you know, I meant to touch on this before, like one of the defining things of Persona is style. And each of these three games like has such a distinct style of their own. And I think Persona 4 exemplifies that, you know, almost as much as Persona 5, where you've got these bright pop colors, you've got, you know, music that gets stuck in your head for days. And on top of that, you have a complete change in setting. Persona 4 takes place in a small town. You're not in Tokyo. You're not, you know, riding the subway to and from.
Oh, a little loud there. There we go. The music's great, though. It's worth it.
It's so good. Yeah. Just getting a little taste of the music. And, you know, you're getting that experience of kind of like living a Japanese countryside life, and it's masking this really kind of like horrific story and mystery. And kind of like the counterpoint between those things makes Persona 4 Golden really compelling. And I, you know, if you're like a Twin Peaks fan or like a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure fan, I think Persona 4 Golden really hits a lot of those notes too.
So what was added to these games that makes it Persona 4 Golden, makes it Persona 3 Portable versus, you know, the original just P3, P4?
Yeah, so Persona 3 Portable completely introduces a female main character route. So at the beginning of the game, you're able to choose the gender of your protagonist, and that does change the game. And it does, you know, open up different social links. It opens up different options. Gives you some absolute banger battle tracks. The female protagonist battle soundtrack is probably my favorite track in any of the Persona games. And on top of that, it also has some gameplay changes for the actual like turn-based battle system. You're able to control your party members, which, you know, if you have played Persona 4 or Persona 5, like that seems like a given, but Persona 3 was actually like where that was introduced. And I think that also helps to make it really accessible for people who might be more familiar with the later titles in the game. So you're going to get a really similar experience gameplay wise. And then one of the super exciting things about both of these releases that's new to this version is the addition of, you know, FIG's language support. So we have French, Italian, German, Spanish, and then also dual audio. So the original releases only had the English voice acting. And with these releases, you're also able to use the Japanese voice acting along with whatever subtitles you select. So I think that's really cool to have, you know, for players who might want a little bit more of, you know, an authentic experience to the original Japanese, or who want to be able to experience it in like their own language. I think it's really exciting to be able to broaden Persona's horizon in that way too.
Yeah, it's fun to toggle because the voice acting, the quality is just so high as well. So,
yeah.
So we're Persona 3 Portable, Persona 4 Golden, just released yesterday, Xbox Game Pass, PC, console, cloud. Cloud works great, by the way. I played like all over Christmas break. I was playing Persona 5 on my laptop in a hotel room. Worked out really well, which is great because once you start, you're not gonna want to stop playing. So, are there any like particular as sort of a parting shot here, any sort of like things that you're really, without spoilers, things that you're really looking forward to folks getting to experience with these games because they are really so special?
Ooh, that's a really hard question because I think that's something that. Is kind of like unique to each person, but as the community manager for Atlas, like one of the absolute highlights of my day is getting to go and actually see people's reactions to the story or reactions to like really hard boss fights. And I think that, you know, as people get deeper into the games and getting to, this feels like a cop-out answer, but genuinely, like it's fun to see what other people find exciting. And as a fan of the series, you know, it's hard to not spoil what my favorite moments are, but part of the fun is watching people experience them on their own. But yeah, and then, you know, I do want to really quickly touch on what you mentioned as far as like Play Anywhere. I think Xbox users have the incredible advantage of being able to play wherever you're at. And, you know, when you are playing a game like this, where it's, you know, can get really long if you want to try and do everything, being able to switch between console and mobile and PC really opens it up so that you can get through it a little faster. And you can really enjoy it.
You've got a lot of gameplay ahead of you, but it doesn't drag because it's compelling. I'm thinking back to Persona 3, which I played quite some time ago, and I there was a particular social link when I matched. Yeah, I had a very like poignant moment that I didn't expect. And then in Persona 4, like there's just some great revelations that happen where you're like, so yeah, I agree with you. Like having that conversation with someone and like, who did they focus on and who did they, you know, spend the most of their time with, or what, you know, how do they feel about a particular moment is, it is up there with like, the highest levels of drama in TV, or, you know, especially when you know something, you're like, this thing's coming and I'm going to be quiet about it.
Yeah.
And then they come back to you and they're like, that just happened. So we are very much fanning out here. And so I think that's a sign that we should probably move on, go fire it up. So Persona 3 Portable, Persona 4 Golden, of course, Persona 5 Royal, all available now on Game Pass. And Tori, I want to congratulate you and thank you for bringing these games to Xbox, but congrats on the launches. And where can they find more from Atlas?
Well, you're more than welcome to follow us on at Atlas West, @Atlas_West on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, just about anything. You'll be able to see some of the content that my team posts and also, you know, see stuff from the Persona community. I'll plug really quickly. We do something called Atlas Faithful Fridays, where, you know, fans are able to share their cosplays or their fan art and, you know, tag Atlas Faithful. And we try and share as many as we can. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing all of the amazing community created content that comes out now that the games are available.
Welcome back. All right. So one thing that I just wanted to talk with you all about was new additions to Game Pass. We have a few things landing that I wanted to highlight, like Monster Hunter Rise, Persona 3 Portable, and Persona 4 Golden.
Yep.
On the 19th of January is the Persona Portable and Golden. And
so
then
as this airs, they're available now. They're available now because this will air on the 20th, right? So.
So for those of you that haven't traveled back in time to listen to this, it's now available.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there may be
for
some.
For those time travelers. Yeah. Yes. It was available on the 18th
and
19th.
And thank you for that.
So go play it.
Go play it. And just a reminder, of course, you had the interview there. Jeff gave you some good tips there. Hit Jeff up on Twitter if you want any more Persona Twitter, Persona tips, because I'm sure he would love to give you those. And then hit Malik up on Twitter if you want to give him any book suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Never mind. We're not going to read them, but you can give them to me.
Can I suggest maybe some Dr. Seuss books to start? Really, you know, set some easy goals for yourself.
With a vacuum?
I hate those books. But I've read those kinds of books, like when I was really, like, you know, the ones that like take 2 seconds to read. I mean, like, I haven't read a chapter book. Like, I haven't sat down and read a chapter book. So, but I may make my way back through some Dr. Seuss books.
May I make
just
a
to
suggestion?
Build my way back up.
May I make a suggestion? Try some Audible books. Have somebody read you. You can just put your headphones on and lie down and listen to somebody read.
Sounds just as boring to me.
Okay. Look, I'm doing everything I can here, right? We're trying our best.
Man, this is offensive to my little bookworm soul. I set like a read goal for this year. I'm already 4 books down. So Malik,
this
maybe
year?
I read enough for the both of us. Yeah.
You read 4 books this year? The year that's only 20 days old?
Wow. Yeah.
That's wild to me.
That's a book every five days, that. Malik. Okay, you can't even get through a chapter in 5 years.
In a lifetime.
Well, I was trying to give you a little bit of credit. Speaking of that, a couple things. Reminder, as we said at the top of the show, next week we have the Developer Direct on January 25th, which is the Wednesday coming up. You're going to have hear from some of our developers about some cool stuff. That's all we can say. You're not going to get any more information out of us, right? I will say this,
right?
Because I'm reading right from the blog post, so this is not news. The Elder Scrolls Online, Forza Motorsport, Minecraft Legends, and Redfall. So we're gonna talk about some of those titles. So that's gonna be a lot of fun, right?
Can't wait to see more.
You know what I was thinking is, I haven't had a chance to watch it, but this is one of the few ways that we can talk about it. Well, we can talk about it any way we want. But have you guys watched The Last of Us? The TV?
Ooh, I have not.
You're not even watching TV shows, Malik? What are you doing?
Well, you're right. I don't watch TV
shows. What do you do with your time, Malik?
Sleep, because I'm boring. I haven't watched it, but I will say, I vacuum in my free time. The floor is like, okay, we get it. We're clean. It's clean. No, I haven't watched The Last of Us. Obviously, just came out on, I think, HBO, right?
Yep.
And getting rave reviews. And Last of Us is one of those games that I have like fond memories of watching my friend play, because I didn't have a PlayStation, so I watched my friends play it. And I love to see the reaction from so many people in the community just saying like how great of a, how it recreated the game so well, but in other ways, like added onto the story. So I think I'll definitely check it out for sure.
Yeah. That was just thinking about it. Cause on my console, it had a little reminder. I was like, oh, that's one way you can get Last of Us on Xbox. So can watch it on your console with HBO.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. I've heard good things. And I haven't ever played the series, but I think that like kind of like Malik not reading books, maybe I can just watch the show instead of playing it. Nothing against it. I would love to go back and play it one day. It's more of a time constraint than any kind of preference.
So I think it's pretty clear if you've got some spare time, Kelly, because you work on our marketing, games marketing side, when you're not working or playing games, you're probably reading a book, right? Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
And Malik, yes. When you're not playing games, you're vacuuming?
Vacuuming and sleeping and eating.
Okay.
Too much.
We all have our things,
We have our things. We just do our things. But I will say it's funny, Kelly, that you mentioned that because I know I saw a lot of discourse around, like, it'll be interesting to talk to people who haven't played the game that watch the movie, or excuse me, the TV series, and then go back and play the game versus the vice versa of that.
Right.
And so it's going to be really interesting to see what people resonate with and how people kind of, like, which one they kind of gravitate to towards most. And so I'm excited to hear your thoughts after you catch the series and then if you play the game.
I'm fascinated by it from a perspective of, you know, linear versus nonlinear storytelling, as somebody who's been in the media for a long time, who worked on linear storytelling and how to create and craft that arc, which is so much harder in gaming because you don't know what the player is going to do, what direction, what speed, what velocity they're going to go through your game, where they're going to go in the game, how they're going to proceed. So it's a very different way of storytelling, but it's interesting to see we're kind of in the golden age of a lot of these adaptations for video games. You know, of course, we saw the Halo series, Last of Us is out. We're seeing some other things that are in the pipeline. So it's going to be interesting to see how it adapts. And I think the audience is now demanding these types of things. We, and I look at you two, and I'm a little bit older than you both, that we grew up with playing these video games. So we want to see them on our big screen, right? We want to see them. We want to see more of that universe.
And very famously. Go ahead, Kelly.
I was going to say, like, I think that, like, while people talk about, like, the new stuff that's coming out and some of the breakthroughs that are happening, I can't help but take a look back at some of the things that did come out previously, like the Pokemon movies.
Right.
Sonic had, like, you know, did such a great job at bringing it to the big screen. So I feel like there are ways that it was done and, like, learnings to take from those successes. Like, I remember as a kid going to see the Pokemon movie, and when Mewtwo showed up, I was like, wah! And so taking that hype where you go from player choice, right? Like, you get to decide where you go, what you do, and then putting you in a seat where you just have to, like, let the story happen. It's definitely a switch, and it's interesting, but I think it can be done and can be done well.
Yeah, as we're seeing, as like The Last of Us is a great example of
that.
So
I mean, absolutely. Very famously, I got to interview Joseph Ferris, who we all know from many different things.
Oh, isn't he great?
We used to make film. He's amazing. And, like, again, we remember him mostly from his TGA first appearance, but which is infamous. But you know, he used to do film, and then obviously now he's been doing a few games, like A Way Out, or was it A Way Out? And It Takes Two.
Yeah,
and so, like, he talked about, like, that transition from film to gaming and how, like, he was just shocked with the amount of things that you can do, to both your points, and, like, when you have the player being able to do whatever they want, and how it's so much more, it's more difficult, but it's more fulfilling to create a story where you have to take all these things into account. And so, yeah, it's really cool to see the maturation of gaming and storytelling.
And Joseph, to his credit, to his point, he makes these great co-op experiences. So he made it even more difficult, because it's not just a single player experience. It's now two players that have to get through together. So he decided to turn the difficulty up to insane. So
yeah, 100%.
Anyway, so that's it. That's our storytelling. All right, gang, we got to go. Just a reminder, everybody, Developer Direct next Wednesday. Go to news.xbox.com. We have a post right at the top there. I'll be tweeting out reminders. I'm sure that Malik will be tweeting out reminders if he can find the... He's not going to read the book on how to tweet out, so he doesn't have
any... Yeah, he can't read the article, but he'll share it.
Of course, Kelly.
I swear I can read, y'all.
Kelly, can we have you on again maybe sometime in the future?
Yeah, I would love that. Have your people talk to my people. Yeah. We'll figure something out. And
We'll see hopefully you can get that room decorated a little bit better for next time. So
I can't. Yeah, I'm going to get a vacuum, maybe a mop. I don't know, maybe mix it up a little bit. We'll see.
That's my only decoration, is my appliances. Yeah.
your appliance in your bed back there. So that's, you got all the basics. So anyway, all right, thanks, gang. Developer Direct next week. We'll see you guys a week from today. Well, depending upon when you're listening to this, we've got a great show lined up following to talk about some of the Developer Direct stuff. Stay tuned. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you.